A narrow ruling on a big case today in the Supreme Court. The justice is making a decision on affirmative action, saying college plans are constitutional if racial preferences are the only way to achieve diversity. But then the justices declined to decide the Texas case before them, in which Abigail Fisher claimed she was denied admission to the University of Texas in 2008 because she is white. So what does today's ruling mean? Let's bring in Emily Bazelon, legal affairs editor for Slate, who joins us from the studios of Yale University. Emily, the justices voted 7-1, but they also sent the case back. So what happened here?
It's kind of a punt. Essentially, the Supreme Court said that affirmative action remains legal, but they're not sure about this particular affirmative action program that the University of Texas Austin was using. And they want the lower courts to look at it more carefully than they did, not to defer as much to university officials and how they constructed the racial preference program.
Yeah. And so what they're saying to the court, the lower court, you didn't do a good enough job in deciding if this particular school in this particular case needed to use affirmative action?
Right. So Justice Kennedy is saying, look, universities, it's possible that you can use race as one factor among many. We're not saying you can't. And that was the possible implication of today's ruling. So that's why it's a smaller decision than a lot of people anticipated. But Justice Kennedy also said to the schools, you have to make sure there is no workable alternative for achieving diversity that is race neutral. In other words, essentially using race has to be a kind of last resort.
Right. Well, and let's look at the background of this particular case. It started, as we said, in 2008. Texas has a very complicated admission system. At the time, the top 10% of students from every Texas high school were admitted. And that already, we understand, resulted in a relatively diverse class. The remaining spots are left open. And that is where race is one of the factors that can come into play in filling those spots.
Exactly. So about 80% of the freshman class at UT Austin gets in through the top 10% plan, which you just talked about, high schools. If you graduate in your top 10%, you're in. But then there are about 20% of the spots left in which they do what they call a more holistic kind of admissions process. And that's where they count race as one of the factors among many.
Yeah. And the young woman who brought this case was working with and backed by someone who has been actively, a gentleman who's been actively trying to dismantle affirmative action programs. Are you surprised at this court's decision?
What's surprising about this decision is it makes you wonder why the court took this case in the first place. It just doesn't seem like it was a good vehicle for any kind of broader ruling. And this ruling just seems like sort of quibbling with the lower court standards as opposed to saying anything grander, which is usually what we expect from the Supreme Court. I suppose the defense is, well, the court is signaling to lower courts that they should be more skeptical and more scrutinizing of universities' justifications for their admissions policy, but the Supreme Court is letting affirmative action live another day.
Yeah. And what is the signal to schools?
The signal to schools is make sure you can defend your affirmative action policy by showing that you've tried everything else you can to achieve diversity and that you're using race explicitly in admissions because you feel like that's the only way to get enough Black and Hispanic students admitted.
Yeah. Okay, so there was another important ruling today. We want to touch on that and one more. This one about discrimination in the workplace. And at issue in this case, who was a supervisor? What happened here?
This is a case that's really pretty good for businesses. For a long time, there's been a question about when is an employer a supervisor? Because if you're a supervisor and you get accused of discrimination, then the company is basically automatically in trouble. Whereas if you're not a supervisor, then they're only in trouble if they had noticed that something was going wrong. And the court basically stiffened the requirements for who counts as a supervisor. You have to be someone who has control over a worker's hiring and firing or promotion. Something that's really visible and tangible as opposed to just someone who's higher up the ladder and oversees them or has some power over them.
Yeah. And finally, the Supreme Court stepped into a constitutional dispute with major political implications. They said today that they are going to take up a case for the next session to define when a president can act on his own without Congress to fill a vacant government post. These are recess appointments. Tell us the issues here.
So the president has power in the Constitution to make recess appointments. And the question is, okay, but what does that mean? Does that mean that Congress has to officially be out of session, which really only happens after an election? Or if Congress essentially takes a vacation, can the president step in and name the people he wants to his posts? And on January 4th, 2012, President Obama said, Congress, you're out of session. You've all gone home, even though Congress was pretending, in the president's view, to be in session by gaveling in and out every couple days. The president named a few people to the National Labor Relations Board, and he named a head of the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau. And the D.C. Circuit, the lower court in this case, struck down all those appointments and said, no, Obama, you went too far. And so that is the ruling that the Supreme Court is now reviewing.
Okay. And just quickly, everybody knows that there are two really big decisions awaiting the Supreme Court. Do you think it will extend? Do you think they'll be this week? I mean, I'm asking you to guess, but what's your sense?
This is the scheduling question that's been driving me crazy. We know that the Supreme Court will issue decisions tomorrow morning on Tuesday, and we're pretty sure they'll be either Wednesday or Thursday morning as well. We just don't know which one yet.
Okay. Look, that's their prerogative. Emily Bazelon, legal affairs editor for Slate, thanks so much.
Thanks so much for having me.